A few surprises in the Small Business Administration's reauthorization bill. The House Small Business Committee wants to make the ability to protest task orders worth more than $10 million permanent. That was just one of several provisions in the latest small business contracting bill that's starting to make its way through Congress. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about the Defending America's Small Contractors Act of 2016 in his weekly Inside the Reporter's Notebook, and he joins me now to discuss the bill. Jason, a lot in here. Let's start with the extension of the task order protest authority, which you're saying is a really big deal. What is it, and why does the committee want to extend it?
This is a big deal, and there's several reasons why. Let me start with the basic fact, Tom, that if they didn't extend it, it's going to sunset for all civilian agencies in September of 2016. So only the Defense Department would be able to continue on in terms of protesting task orders. Not that the Defense Department wants to protest their own task orders, but vendors who obviously do work for the Defense Department. But so this would extend it permanently for all agencies, and I think that's a huge deal. And the reason why is so much money is now going through task order contracts, whether it's the schedules or government-wide acquisition contracts, GWACs, or just run-of-the-mill single award task order type contracts. Agencies are putting more money through these types of contracts and higher dollar values, which is one of the reasons why they gave the vendors the ability to protest task orders in the first place, because they saw how much money was going through it.
Yeah, that word task order sounds like a sanitized version, really, of what it is. It is a contract.
Oh, absolutely.
On some sort of a master contract, but each action, if it's a procurement officer committing money, it's a contract.
And I think part of the concern was when there was a problem with huge task orders, $80, $90, $100 million task orders, vendors had no place to go. So now they do. And even though there was a lot of concern at one point that GAO would be flooded with protests, that's actually not the fact. In the 2015 numbers from GAO, only 335 protests came from task orders out of more than 2,600 complaints total. So as you see, it's a very small percentage, but still the ability to have that avenue is very important.
Well, it shows you can't use task orders under, say, a GWAC to get around the basic competition and contracting principles.
Right. And I think one of the concerns was when you had such large amounts of money going through these programs and there was no check or balance. That was, I think, a growing concern by Congress back in, I think it was 2009 when they first gave the vendors the ability to protest. But then I think as agencies have turned to task orders more and more, that's why, again, they have to, there's a belief on Capitol Hill they have to extend it.
And what else is in this bill that vendors ought to pay attention to, and I guess agency people as well?
There's several other provisions. Let me start with one that I think has been kind of impacting the government and impacting vendors, is unifying the definitions of and regulations around the specific contracting programs for veterans and service-disabled veterans. Now, you have the Small Business Administration, they have a specific definition, a specific set of regulations, and that applies to everyone in the government except for the Veterans Affairs Department. Veterans Affairs Department has their own set of regulations. The SBA and VAs are similar, but not exactly the same, and that causes confusion and causes really challenges in the government, because for a small business, a disabled veteran own business, do you go to VA or do you go to SBA, or what if they're two different ones? And I think what Congress is realizing is this category, this, if they'll call it a socioeconomic category, is rising. You're seeing more money being spent. I think government made their 3% goal. VA spent something like 18% of all their procurement money with service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses. And I think its time has come to really bring those two definitions together. I think this was one of the provisions the bill would do.
So which one will prevail, the FAR or the VA part?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. You take the best of both worlds, and I think that's what you'll end up doing. I imagine VA and SBA will have to work together to come up with a single definition that makes everybody happy. I'm not sure one is better than the other. I just think Congress recognizes consistency is important.
But it shows also that the VA as an organization is good at that, given the percentage of dollars they spend versus everybody else on veteran-owned and disabled veteran-owned businesses.
Well, in many ways, they have to be. I mean, that is their clientele. If they can't serve their clientele, whether it's through giving veterans medical care, health care, or contracting with them, that would be a pretty poor thing. I mean, DOD is the other one that really should be above and beyond everybody else, considering, you know, veterans were once, you know, part of the family, so to speak.
Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller. You're also writing about cloud cybersecurity standards under the FedRAMP program. FedRAMP has been something that people have pinned a lot of hope on. It's been slow in coming. What's going on there?
So FedRAMP, this is interesting because FedRAMP is one of the few programs that I will have to call them out and say they should deserve a lot of credit. You hear a lot of times vendors complain about the government. Well, we told them this and they don't do anything about it. And I think FedRAMP is actually listening to vendor concerns and agency concerns, because what's been happening is this backup, is this backlog, if you will, of getting cloud service providers, so vendors, through what they call the Joint Authorization Board, the JAB process. Now, the JAB is led by the CIOs of GSA, DoD, and DHS, and it's really considered the gold standard for cloud service providers. And it went from 6 months on average to now 12 to 15 months on average to get someone through the JAB process. And I think so many vendors want that quote-unquote gold standard that's causing this backlog. And even though if you go to the FedRAMP.gov website, you only see about 8 cloud vendors in process, but I've heard there's dozens more kind of waiting to get into that final step.
And the requirements under the JAB are published by GSA, so any cloud provider can simply get themselves lined up according to what the JAB is going to require before the JAB crew shows up, right?
Absolutely. And it's not a matter of not understanding what you have to do. It's getting through that final step. And there's been no resources. There's been, you know, not a lot of personnel. So they really took this on, and I think it was a much bigger elephant than they were ready to eat, and bite by bite is good, you know, normally, but I think, you know, vendors get anxious because it's a competition issue. So I think the fact is that Matt Goodrich deserves a lot of credit for listening and hearing these complaints and doing something about it. And one of the big things he's doing is he's actually going on a focused listening tour, and he actually hired a FedRAMP agency evangelist to go work with agencies, to go talk to agencies, to find out about their problems, and then also have agencies collaborate on making sure that they're, you know, doing the agency authority to operate, which is just as good as a JAB approval in many ways, so they can kind of reuse, recycle, not, you know, really invent the wheel twice.
That was the whole point of FedRAMP, was to have one certification repeat many times among all your customers.
Right. And in fact, interesting enough, Matt Goodrich, who was speaking last week at a Fed Summit's cloud event, said Ashley Mahon, who is the agency evangelist, he's going to do a Twitter thing where hashtag, where is Ashley? So something for people to follow as she kind of gets going over the next few weeks and few months.
This is this representative to the vendor community.
And to the agency community, the agency evangelist. So always the fun titles in the government, right?
All right. So does that mean vendors can expect that 12 to 15 months to come down over time?
I think so. I think that's the hope from Matt Goodrich and the FedRAMP folks. I mean, a couple other reasons why they have that hope, not just because there's someone out there talking and listening, but they also have a funding stream for the first time that's specific for the JAB. GSA, DHS, DoD all received line item dollars in the budget for the 2016 funding bill. Now, how much, it was unclear. I did a search. Nothing came from, you know, looking up JAB, FedRAMP, and Matt Goodrich didn't know offhand. But I can tell you this, that the fact is that they're getting resources or getting funding is a huge deal, because one of the big problems with the program was, in many ways, it was an unfunded mandate. And I think OMB and GSA and DOD and DHS have heard that complaint. The other thing is that they're doing is really taking a hard look at the JAB process, and can they focus on the importance of cyber, but not only about documentation. Did you get the documents in? Are the documents filled out properly? But really, do you have the process in place to secure the data, secure the systems? And I think that's another area where they're trying to improve the JAB process to speed up the time it takes, but not lose the rigor. I think we've heard that many times over the years.
But the money, when we find out how much it is, sounds like it would go to people just to help them process all of the JAB applications that they're getting from industry.
That would make sense. I mean, it's unclear exactly how they'll spend it. But previously, you know, this was kind of set up through the eGov fund, which is now something called ITOR, Information Technology Fund. And it's never a lot of money. I mean, even when the ITOR was $20 million, it was split up between many, many different projects. So FedRAMP got a piece of it, but not a huge piece. And I think so having a dedicated funding stream is a huge importance change to getting this process improved.
And it all comes down to performance, in this case, FedRAMP's performance. But also, Jason, you're writing about a new data at performance.gov, which takes some fortitude to be able to sift through and find out what it really says.
It's like an archaeological dig. Each layer gives you just a little bit more data. So last week when we talked for Inside the Reporter's Notebook, I talked about the smarter IT delivery and a couple policies coming from OMB, data center consolidation, open source. This week we find out that there's two more policies coming from OMB, one that we've seen a draft of enterprise software licensing, and then another one on mobile IT services. What is that? It's hard to say for sure, but the fact is OMB's plate is getting filled with more stuff to do as we read deeper into the performance.gov website.
All right, so this is a category under the category management is mobile IT.
Correct. And what the idea is, GAO reported, and in fact you had us on your show, the GAO auditor, who talked about how agencies didn't know what they spent on mobile devices and mobile services, and the fees that they were spending ranged anywhere from $21 to $122 for very similar services. So I think based on that GAO report, OMB said, you know, agencies spend about $1.2 billion a year on mobile devices. How can we bring that under a more structured, rigorous, and how can we manage it better from a contracting perspective? And I think that's what you're going to see in the memo. That's my educated guess.
All right. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, as always, thanks for that update.
My pleasure.
You can read his Inside the Reporter's Notebook now at federalnewsradio.com.